From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in the Law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Come unto me. The cry of the Christian religion is the gentle word, come. The Jewish law harshly said, go. Take heed unto thy steps as to the path in which thou shalt walk. Break the commandments, and thou shalt perish. Keep them, and thou shalt live. The law was a dispensation of terror, which drove men before it as with a scourge. The gospel draws with bands of love. Jesus is the good shepherd going before his sheep, bidding them follow him, and ever leading them onwards with the sweet word, come. The law repels. The gospel attracts. The law shows the distance which there is between God and man. The gospel bridges that awful chasm and brings the sinner across it. From the first moment of your spiritual life until you are ushered into glory, the language of Christ to you will be, come, come unto me. As a mother puts out her finger to her little child and woos it to walk by saying, come. Even so does Jesus. He will always be ahead of you, bidding you follow him as the soldier follows his captain. He will always go before you to pave your way and clear your path, and you shall hear his animating voice calling you after him all through life. While in the solemn hour of death, his sweet words with which he shall usher you into the heavenly world shall be, come, ye blessed of my Father. Nay, further, this is not only Christ's cry to you, but if you be a believer, this is your cry to Christ. Come, come! You will be longing for his second advent. You will be saying, come quickly, even so come, Lord Jesus. You will be panting for nearer and closer communion with him. As his voice to you is, come, so your response to him will be, come, Lord, and abide with me. Come and occupy alone the throne of my heart. Reign there without a rival, and consecrate me entirely to thy service.
Thank you.
If your Bible reading is usually in the Authorized or King James Version, you have probably encountered words that are quite unfamiliar. Because the Authorized Version was translated in the 17th century, some of its words are no longer in use, or perhaps have a different meaning now. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a booklet containing many of those archaic terms and their meaning in modern-day speech. In addition, the booklet contains a Bible reading plan that will help you to read the whole Bible through in 2 years, as well as the Psalms and the New Testament twice. To obtain your copy of A Bible Word List free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A Bible Word List, and we'll be happy to provide it. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues his treatment of the Ten Commandments in individual messages as he comes to the Ninth Commandment, Thou shalt not bear false witness. As has been the case with all of the commandments considered so far, the prohibition here is very far-reaching in its application. The focus is upon the tongue, a small member of the body that has potential for immense good or for a vast amount of evil. The heart of this commandment is the preservation and promotion of truth. Now here is Dr. Cairns.
We continue in our study of the law of God, and we come to the ninth of the Ten Commandments, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 16. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. The tongue has incalculable power both for good and for evil. Its potential for good is immense. James said, therewith bless we God. And to what nobler use could the tongue of man ever be put than to the praise of our God, our Creator, and our Redeemer? In all of Holy Scripture, I know of no more exhilarating scene than that which is described in the book of the Revelation, when the myriads of the redeemed surround the throne of God and of the Lamb, and they sing praises unto Him who loosed them, washed them, redeemed them, and brought them to glory. What an immense potential for good there is in the human tongue. But its potential for evil is enormous. James went on to say in the very next breath, therewith curse we men who are made after the similitude of God. It's significant to me that of 10 commandments in which he summarized the moral duty of man, God made reference to our use of the tongue in 2. You remember that the 3rd commandment said, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." That is emphasizing the use of our tongue, and especially in the things of God, how we direct the use of our tongue toward God. Now in the 9th commandment, we are told, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." And here, obviously, the commandment is dealing with how we employ our tongues, not so much directly to God, though that will come into the picture, but mainly how we direct it toward men. Of course, I think it would be true to say, this is true right throughout the commandments, that he who seeks to keep the commandment in the first table of the law will be best equipped to keep it in the second table of the law. That the one who is careful to use his tongue right unto God will be least likely to use it ill toward men. Now, as with all the commandments in the 10, the simple prohibition of this 9th commandment extends to a great number of sins. I would advise you once more to have a look at the larger catechism's exposition of the 9th commandment. And you will be amazed. I think they take something like 30 lines, almost every word of which, and certainly every phrase of which, has a biblical text by way of reference and proof. They take almost 30 lines to tell you what is included in this single line, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." Among other things, this calls for the preservation and the promotion of truth. And it pays very particular attention to our neighbor's good name. While that seems very old-fashioned in this self-serving day in which we live, it can never be out of date for a Christian that the good name and the reputation of our neighbor is not something of small importance to us. It is something we are commanded, as much as in us lies, to preserve, to protect, and to promote. There is in this the whole idea of standing for the truth. The prophet uses that wonderful little expression, "valiant for the truth." Seems to me sad that he had to use it as a negative. They were not valiant for the truth. But I think we could well take that for us as a summary of our duties under the 9th commandment. This is the call of God, that we be valiant for the truth. As a commandment, it denounces clearly false evidence. It denounces calling evil good and good evil, slandering, lying, backbiting, detracting from another person's reputation or deeds. Tale-bearing, scoffing, reviling, deliberately twisting words, misconstruing acts or intentions, flattering, vainglorious boasting, denying the gifts of God either in another or in yourself, many such things, all included in the simple statement, the command, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." Tonight I want us to look at this commandment. I've thought long and hard about it. I've had to, because the more I looked at it, the more I realized this single commandment is an exposition of much of Scripture. And to bring it all within the compass even of a long message is difficult. And when you're so short-winded as I am, it is even more difficult. So let me sum it up in a single, simple statement. That the 9th commandment obliges us to be faithful witnesses and to use our tongue for the good and not for the hurt of our neighbor. The ninth commandment obliges us to be faithful witnesses, and to use our tongue for the good and not for the hurt of our neighbor. Now, the first point is very obvious, that this commandment condemns a very widespread sin. And I should say that it condemns it in all its aspects. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Now, underline the words very carefully. I'm going to start where you, I think, will not expect me to start. Most people take it that the ninth commandment simply says, thou shalt not lie. And they take it immediately in a very particular personal direction. We'll get there ultimately. But it says deliberately, thou shalt not bear false witness. In other words, this commandment was given and stated in a legal setting. And the most fundamental force of the ninth commandment is a divine safeguard of the integrity of Israel's legal system. And what it's saying is that in all matters that come before a court of law, the witnesses must tell the truth. In expounding this in Exodus 23, verse 7, the scriptures say, keep thee far from a false matter, and the innocent and righteous slay thou not, for I will not justify the wicked. In the Old Testament's legal framework, witnesses had a very vital role. It lay with witnesses to establish guilt or innocence. And literally, the power of life and death was in the hands of witnesses. The scriptures are very clear in this in Deuteronomy 17 and 6. At the mouth of two witnesses, or three witnesses, shall he that is worthy of death be put to death. But at the mouth of one witness, he shall not be put to death. Again in chapter 19 and verse 15 of Deuteronomy, one witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth. At the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. So it's very clear that the work of the witness was of very grave importance to the system that God set up in Israel. However, looking at this humanly, you can immediately see that the potential for abuse of a witness system was very great. And so therefore, the Lord, right from the beginning, acknowledged the devastating effects of false or lying witnesses. You remember that in the book of Proverbs 25 and 18, we are told that a man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul. It's an old-fashioned word that means a war club. He's a war club and a sword and a sharp arrow. Now, those are all weapons of war. And the Lord says that the false witness, using his wicked words, is actually employing these vicious weapons of war for the destruction of an innocent person. You may remember that Jezebel employed them against Naboth when, in Ahab's name, she sent to the elders and the judges of Naboth's hometown. You'll read of it in 1 Kings 21, verses 8 through 12. And she had them suborn some witnesses to gather some liars who stood up. And before the assembled court, they said of Naboth, you blaspheme God and the king. They put him to death just so that Jezebel and her husband could steal his property. You remember that the priests of Israel used these weapons against the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 26, 59 and 60 tells us how they sought for false witnesses. We read the same thing concerning Stephen in Acts chapter 6, that the priests sought for false witnesses who came and said that Stephen had spoken blasphemous words against the holy place of God's house. So, false witness was a very, very grave danger. And that's why under the law, God did or made Israel do everything possible to ensure the integrity and the honesty of witnesses. For example, witnesses in a capital case had to be the first in executing the judgment that their witness called for. Deuteronomy 17, verse 7, the hands of the witnesses shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterward the hands of all the people, so shalt thou put away evil from among you. Now there are many people who could lie without much conscience, but it's a different thing when to prove the honesty of your accusation, you've got to go out before God and man, and you take the instrument of death in your own hand. It is not an anonymous executioner that puts this man to death. It is your hand that's first upon him. That was one safeguard God built into the system. Then there was another, a very powerful one. You read of it in Deuteronomy 19, verses 16 to 19, that false witnesses were exposed to the very punishment that they sought to bring on an innocent party by their lying witness. This is what the Lord says in verse 18 and 19. If the witness be a false witness and hath testified falsely against his brother, then shall ye do unto him as he had thought to have done to his brother, so shalt thou put the evil away from among you. So the witnesses were to be honest. The Lord warned the judges to judge righteously. In the words of Jehoshaphat to his judges, take heed what ye do, for ye judge not for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. Moses told them in Deuteronomy 16 and 19, thou shalt not wrest judgment, thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift or a bribe, for a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. Now, this is the basic meaning of the ninth commandment. It's a divine directive to a nation to establish a pure and a just judicial system that will be equally accessible to all its subjects. Now, when that fails, a nation becomes a very easy prey to tyranny and indeed to anarchy.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.